Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
And we are here.
Think of the time.
Oh, you don't have to think about it. It's right here. It's right now.
So strange.
And I'll tell you this. You know, every day we open the show with me saying, Nathaniel Rayla says, just think of the time. And I say, you don't have to think about it. It's right here, right now. I feel like that summarizes our offseason. That we've been talking about training camp. We've been thinking about it in the future. You don't have to think about it. It's going to be right here. It's going to be right now. This is the week. Training camp 2019, road to redemption. We don't have to wait any longer. We are here.
Crazy. It's only a few days away. And just talking to some buddies this weekend and talking about what's going on, how's work going, but training camp starting next week. They're like, wait, what? Next week? Yeah, it's here. It is here. And we've talked about it for a long time. Vic Fangio era is upon us. It's going to be fun. So many different storylines heading into camp. Flacco, Vic Fangio, Rich Scangarello, Cortland Sutton. Is he ready to take over? What's Emmanuel going to look like? This offensive line, Mike Munchak. Just so many storylines. Then you go defensively. Will this defense be able to take a step forward? Some nice new additions over there in the secondary. Can Callahan stay healthy? What are they going to do with Kareem Jackson? I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
That's right.
And that's what makes training camp so much fun. And it'll be here in a few days. And I love it. I love it. I know you love it. It's a blast, and love going out there every single day and watching these guys and getting a good evaluation of them early on. So it's here, and it's Vic Fangio's time.
It's Vic Fangio's time.
What will it look like? Will the first practice be cut short? 30 minutes short? 20 minutes short?
That's an inch.
That's an inch. I don't think Vic Fangio's cutting anything short.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And those who were listening to this program 2 years ago, which is what Stokely is referring to, Vance Joseph's first practice he ever had ended it a whole hour early. The first practice. And look, unto itself, that is not the end of the world. And I think I recall at that time you being like, you know.
I don't know if it was quite an hour. I think it was 30 minutes.
No, it's kind of grown.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it
because of his explanation of why. And because what usually happens early in camp, you have pulls and strains. Guys just aren't ready to go out there and run for 2 hours straight. Receivers and, linemen don't run. They walk places, so you don't have to worry about them pulling something, but they might hurt their back, But receivers and secondary, the real athletes actually have to run, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Those guys you worry about strains.
What's quads, up, Tommy? What's up, Steve?
Hamstrings, things like that. You see a lot of those things happen early in camp because they're just not in football shape. So I didn't mind it. I still don't mind that approach.
Well, and that's why I wanted to clarify that unto itself was not a big deal. But for me, only speaking for myself here, that was a first puzzle piece that Vance Joseph was trying to be almost the new age player friendly coach. And then he tried to switch it up his second year. Because I don't think he ever really had an identity. And that's when we heard Shane Ray said, well, it's a new Vance this year. He's rolling with an iron fist.
Right.
And it was just like, okay, you're still trying to figure out who you are as a head coach. Even though Vic Fangio has never done this job before, I think his identity, like to himself in the mirror, is established.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think he has a plan. And like you said, it seemed like Vance's plan kind of fluctuated. First year was one way, and second year was totally different, and there was no concrete plan there. And it just, it comes down to wins and losses. If you don't win enough on Sundays during the fall, during the regular season, then, everything that you've done up to that will be scrutinized. If you win, it's like, oh, that guy was smart. You see, remember how he handled training camp? That was so smart of him.
Chip Kelly, remember?
Remember
the narrative around Chip Kelly?
Chip Kelly.
It's like, oh, this guy's the future. Oh, he's breaking down meals and shakes and short practices and sleep patterns. Chip Kelly wants to know how you're sleeping.
But he changed up the practice schedule for NFL players because normally you have Monday, you go in, you do a workout, you have Tuesday off. That's just the norm around the NFL. Well, he changed up the day off, and I mean, it was just way outside the box thinking. And they were winning.
When they were winning games, it was like, he's young boy genius.
Oh, man.
He had changed the league like he changed the Pac-12.
That's right.
And you start losing games, and it's like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. This guy's not an NFL head coach. He gets the Niners job, league flushes him out, and now he's trying to, you know, convince 18-year-olds to come to UCLA. So it can change quickly for you. It can change, and it changed very quickly for Vance. So,
yes, it did. And so, but now it's Vic Fangio, and that's what we get to see, like the opening of Vic Fangio. What does he look like out there as the head coach, you know, running a training camp? And so that can give us clues on you know, obviously on the season as well as just evaluating all these players. Who's going to be the guy that we haven't even talked about that we go out there after a couple of days like, man, that guy's going to make this football team.
Right.
There's one every single year.
Who was it last year?
Philip Lindsay.
Sure.
Comes to mind.
Tim Patrick.
Yeah, he's another one. So there's those underrated, underheralded guys that we don't talk a lot about. That's not a frontline starter, but they end up making this football team and end up making plays on Sunday. And some do it more than others, like Philip Lindsay obviously did. But certainly there's going to be a couple of those guys, probably under the radar guys, that end up making this football team. And that's a great thing about training camp.
You're absolutely right. There's going to be a dark horse storyline that we'll all be talking about in 2 weeks, but right now we don't know he exists. And we have no way to tell.
A few more things I'm looking forward to. Noah Fant. First round, do we have our tight end or not? And I think it was, I forgot what show it was. It might have been John Davis and Nick when they were talking about the tight end position. They were breaking down the stats of them. Rookie seasons. And we looked at like Travis Kelce early on. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a mm-hmm. whole lot. His mm-hmm. first year did nothing. His second year slowly progressed. And so it takes time. It does take time. And I know we're hoping here that it just comes out and he's a 800 yard receiver. That usually doesn't happen, but we get our first indication of what Noah Fant will be and who he will be. And certainly another guy I'm looking forward to watching, Jake Butt. Can he stay healthy? If he stays healthy, he'll make this football team and do a good job of it. So hopefully he can stay healthy.
Maybe we should, and whether we do it today or tomorrow, we should list and rank our most interesting Broncos to watch. Not necessarily a phase of the team. We've done enough of that this offseason. But actual names and faces ranked in terms of curiosity and intriguement. Jake Butt would be.
Well, I just gave you all of mine.
Well,
so now you have all the answers.
Well, you gave me two names. I'm hoping there's a couple more than that. But Jake Butt is like, man, he is right there near the top of the list. How's he moving? You know, first and foremost, how is he moving around? Does he look confident? Is he wearing stuff on his legs? Which I wouldn't begrudge him if he did.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, who cares if he's wearing something on his leg?
Well, just
tore his ACL.
Well,
can't wear anything on his leg?
I just said I wouldn't begrudge him, but I'm just curious to see, you know, what it looks like.
I think he will probably have a brace on there early on.
Probably should.
Yeah, I mean, I think early on probably should. I know when I did my ACL, I wore a brace for a while, and it felt worse with the brace. Rehabbing, and I was like, I'm done with this, but I can't do it. So we'll see. But braces now, obviously, you know, are a lot different and more functional than what they were. So, but yeah, so many different storylines. Can't wait. 3 days? Three more days?
Yeah, three more days. Three more shows. Three more shows in studio before we're out there.
Sweating.
That's right. Can't wait. And
racing to the coffee machine to see who gets that last bit of coffee.
And at some point today or tomorrow, you and I are going to recap our three or four most favorite camp memories in the couple of years we've been doing this show together.
Oh, I like it.
So
I like that.
We'll get to that because there's some doozies.
Okay? Yes, there is.
There's some doozies.
Yeah, I got my top two right now.
So something happened over the weekend that just had me take a deep breath and say, thank goodness. So something happened over the weekend that I just kind of took a deep breath and said, thank God. And that was the Colorado Rockies finding a way to take 2-3 from the Cincinnati Reds. Now, you can tell me that the Reds are an improved baseball team, that the Reds are, you know, only, you know, six games back from the lead in the Central or what have you. But we went over this Friday, Stoke, when we were at Blake Street Tavern. The Reds had the least amount of road victories in the entire National League and still do. even after winning Saturday. And they're one of the two worst offenses in the National League, along with the San Francisco Giants, who are playing the Rocks right now. But finding a way to win yesterday when they had a 4-0 lead for a second consecutive night, blew it on Saturday, but they had a 4-0 lead. Reds came back. Then they had a 10-5 lead. Reds came back. It was one of these games where I'm like, they're going to lose this baseball game. They're going to lose 2 or 3 to the Reds at home. They hang on, and it's just like, all right, you're staying afloat here.
Yeah, you just can't afford to come out of the All-Star break. You're playing a team that you're better than. You're playing at home. You win the first game. You can't drop 2 of 3 to this team. You need momentum. You want to start off fast, all the things that we talked about on Friday, and you want to win a series. You need to win a series. All these are so important now. You can't just say anymore it's 162 games, right? You're already halfway through the season. Every stinking game, every series is so, so important if you want to get into the playoffs. And certainly when you play at home, you need to win these. And they were able to do that. So, yeah, it didn't look pretty yesterday. They had the couple big leads. Next thing you know, I'm about to leave the house, and my son's like, we got this one. 2 minutes later, when I walk in, he's like, oh, never mind, 10-9. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So good job, bullpen there, Oberg and Wade Davis.
Great job.
Locking it down
and keeping
that one-run lead.
And that was innings 7, 8, 9. There was no run scored.
Yep.
When they had 19 total runs scored in the first 6 innings. So you're all over. I'm glad you said that because both of those guys, Oberg and Davis, sealing it.
Yeah. Needed a big performance from those guys, and they delivered. And that's piggybacking off of, you know, the night before. Holy cow. I couldn't take it anymore. Zach, I was so frustrated from, that's third inning on, I think. Freeland got, I thought, unlucky early in his start. With some just bloop hits, some lucky hits, and they turned into runs. That was unfortunate. But then the Rockies started just playing bad ball.
Yep.
Just awful, awful baseball. And I couldn't take it. So I ended up going to bed, and I looked up at the score, and I think the Reds just took the lead back 8-7. I'm like, I'm done with this. I wake up first thing Sunday morning, look at the score. I'm like, what? Wait, what? 17 runs?
Yeah, 17 runs. 17 runs. 26 runs for the game. Coors Field is playing like a video game on easy this year. It's actually going down, and they had the graphic up there yesterday. It's going down as one of the most offensive years in the history of all of baseball for any one park. And it's, you know, you can, and here's what I'll say. Like, let's not run from this. It's a fact, okay? No one's over exaggerating it. It is what it is.
I really don't care.
Right,
exactly. It is what
just own it. Yeah, we play at Coors Field. We play in altitude. It's a hitter-friendly park, and the ball is flying.
And it's flying everywhere, so it's going to fly a little bit more here.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So, I mean, it's just the facts of Newton's law, right? It's just Newton's law.
That's
what it is, Zach. Newton's law. I mean, the altitude makes the ball fly farther, okay? That is a fact. So the baseball will fly further, okay? When I play golf, it flies further here than it does in Louisiana. It's just Newton's law.
Newton's law.
It is, right there.
Law of motion.
There we go.
You are on it.
I am all over it.
And there's a couple times where it felt like Murphy's law, which I believe Murphy's law is whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
Yes.
That's how it feels some nights, where a 4-run lead in Major League Baseball, you should win 95% of those games. You have a 4-run lead. It feels like the Rockies have won 50% of them this year. And literally. And I don't even feel like I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm overstating it just a little bit.
Right.
But, like, I have seen, like, 4-run leads?
No, don't.
That's an inning.
You can't. You can't anymore just say, okay, we got this one. But I can't recall a lot of games, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and I know you fought, we watched the Rockies every game. I'm trying to remember, like, how many games have the Rockies come back from a 4 or 5 run deficit?
Certainly not the amount that they've given away.
Right.
No, for sure not. I feel like last year that was happening a lot, where the Rocks were storming back a lot a season ago. This year, you're right.
They had that stretch where they had a bunch of those like 3 out of 4 games they had walk-offs.
Yes.
So they had a nice stretch there, but I don't remember if they were coming from behind in every one of those games or what happened there, but obviously, it was a good series win. They did what they needed to do. Now they got the doubleheader today, correct, against the Giants. Marquez on the mound right now. I think they're losing.
They're already down, yep.
And then the second half of that doubleheader, I saw, not sure who's starting for him, if it's going to be Chi-Chi Gonzalez or
Jeff Hoffman, right?
Jeff Hoffman, one of those two. So,
well, I'll say this right now. If the Reds aren't the worst offensive team in the NL, it's the Giants, depending on what metric you look at. And it's the top of the fourth right now, and the Rockies are down 4-0, and now make it 5-0.
It's the top of the what?
It's the top of the first inning.
Oh,
so
you
this
said
is,
fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the top
of the... I was like,
it's
already the fourth inning?
Top of the first inning, and
wow.
The Rockies are down 5-0.
Wow. Well, hey,
top
good,
of the first
the
means
news.
This is the first set of batters that this is, to play baseball this, today.
They just started the game.
They just started the game.
And the score is, again,
5-0.
And we only got one out.
And there's one out.
Wow.
I mean,
hey, the good news, we were just talking about the ball flies. So,
right.
I mean, if you're the Rockies, you're like, all right, let's go. We can score 5 runs against this team.
Well,
right?
I hope there's not a point in the game where Buddy says, let's shut it down. We got to get out of the game tonight. Let's do whatever we have to do to preserve
the
bullpen.
I don't think you can do that right now. You got to wait a little while and see what this thing looks like, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that right now. I said I hope we don't reach a point.
We're on pace to give up 45.
Oof.
Just to let you, 45 runs.
What is that? Oh, my God.
Would that be a record? Probably.
You know, this year, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. I think the Padres series, it might have been a game or two. It's like 47-46.
This is disappointing. You're talking about a bad offensive team in the Giants. You got your, quote-unquote, best pitcher on the mound.
The best we got right now.
Marquez and .1 innings pitched, 5 earned runs.
He's at .1.
What it is.
True. No, I know.
I know.
And by the way, and then this is the last thing I'll say about this weekend, just because they won
and
2-3.
And runners on second and third. Sorry. Oh. Sorry to cut you off. Just to keep, I just want to.
Just because they won 2-3 this weekend doesn't mean it was good baseball. I watched all three games. A lot of bad ball.
Yeah.
A lot of bad ball. Actually, the best game was Friday night. John Gray and I happened to be there for that one. Really cool shots, Chris Fuselier. But did a lot of sloppy, like, little league plays.
Yes.
Daniel Murphy.
Throwing the ball
sometimes
all over the place. It's just like outfielders, you know, running to each other. Wrong guy tries to pick it up. And it was, wow.
Yeah.
Just little league stuff.
Little league stuff. Little league stuff. Here's an interesting question that we're about to broach. Where and when do the Broncos have an advantage at the most important position in sports? We're going to attempt to tackle that question next. I got a simple question here. And we're about to see Joe Flacco for the first time legitimately in orange and blue this week on Thursday morning, day one of training camp 2019, Road to Redemption. But here's a question for you. When and where do the Broncos have an advantage at quarterback? An advantage at the most important position that professional sports have to offer? When you take a look at the Broncos' schedule and who they have head-to-head in the quarterback battle. And I know that these guys never share the same field, but it's a fun exercise of a litmus test that where our confidence level is. Of course, this can change. Of course, this is a fluid conversation, okay? But I think it's worth having this conversation before we really kick things off this week. We both have the schedule pulled up. Let's measure Joe Flacco up against the competition. Do you feel like we have an advantage, we're at a disadvantage, or is there a game where you have it as a draw? So you may find another quarterback where you say, you know what? Man, those guys are about even. I'll have it as a draw. Okay?
Okay.
Week one at Oakland. Do we have an advantage with Joe Flacco, or do they have an advantage with Derek Carr?
I like our guy. I'm not a huge Derek Carr fan. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like this year. Second year with John Gruden. He's got more playmakers around him.
You know,
can he get back to that form he was at 3 years ago or whatever that was when he was playing at MVP level? Can he get back to that form, Derek Carr? So, but I like our guy against Derek Carr.
Okay. That's a big check mark for Joe Flacco. And it is an important year for Derek Carr. By the way, you know, Derek Carr did play all 16 games this past year, completed 69% of his passes, threw for over 4,000 yards, and threw for 19 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. I know that's not the total you're looking for. That's only one better than Case Keenum, but did have a 2-to-1 interception ratio, unlike, I should say, Case Keenum. Okay, but you still like Joe Flacco. I like it. How about week two against the Chicago Bears? Do we have an advantage with Joe Flacco against Mitchell Trubisky? It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it is. Trubisky had a solid year last year. Wasn't special, but he was in his second year. Didn't, you know, do much his rookie year. Picked number two overall by the Bears, but he had a nice solid year. First year with Matt Nagy as a head coach. 3,200 yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
That 2-to-1 interception ratio is like what you're looking for with a young quarterback. Like the yards are not there, but who cares? He threw twice as many touchdowns.
They did. They won football games. So he has to get credit for that. I don't know. I like our guy. I like our guy.
You like our guy?
I do. I just think, you know, for me, I want to see a little bit more of Mitch Trubisky before I'm sold on him. And I'm not quite sold on him. I mean, Joe Flacco, I've seen him do it at a high level, at the highest level. So I'm going to give the edge to Joe Flacco here over Mitch Trubisky. And that certainly could change throughout the course of the season,
of
like
course,
you said.
Of course.
But right now, I've seen Mitch Trubisky do it for 1 year. I have more confidence. If you tell me it was 2 minutes left to go in the game, who would I rather have in my quarterback? I would probably say Joe Flacco over Mitch Trubisky.
I like that. So, okay.
Glad you like it.
Two checks for Joe. Week three at the Green Bay Packers.
That's not even a discussion.
Joe Flacco doesn't have an advantage over Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Now, are we playing the where this game is being played in factor also?
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, the second game's in Denver with the Bears. Or are we just saying?
It's up to you. I didn't even think about it.
Because we have two Oaklands on here. You know, one's away and one's at home. So, and obviously it's a lot different. A lot different playing away than playing in a nice friendly confines without the noise.
Then let's factor it.
Well, then I'm going to have to give Derek Carr the nod on the first week then.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Sorry.
All right.
I'll give him the edge. He's back with his offensive coordinator for year two. This is Joe Flacco, Rich Scangarello's first game. They're playing on the road. Edge goes to Derek Carr.
Now, since you're going down this road, I want to mention.
Uh-oh. What?
Joe Flacco, 7, not 1, not 2, 7 road playoff victories.
Yes.
And it's the most in NFL history.
Oh, I didn't know that was a playoff game. Is that a playoff game?
It's a must-win week one, isn't it?
It's not a playoff game. So you're talking about the playoffs.
Let me be the first to tell you week one's a must-win. So just fact. Just consider it. Week four against the Jacksonville Jags. Nick Foles, Joe Flacco.
I'm taking in consideration it's a home game for the Broncos. Nick Foles sold me a little bit last year. But, I'm giving the edge to Joe Flacco. I want to see what Nick Foles looks like as the every down starter, the starter heading into the football season. It's a different world. He's done some great things the last couple years in Philly, but I'm going to give the edge at home to Joe Flacco.
You know, I know what we saw from Nick Foles was legendary 2 years ago, and then he came and validated it when he filled in, and that's kind of what you're referring to, Carson Wentz for a second time in 2018. There's something about Foles that I'm just still not sold on.
We're the same.
So, like, if you gave me the choice of one season here in Denver, like, and my life was going to end if the Broncos didn't finish 8-8 or better, I think I'm taking Joe Flacco over Nick Foles for the season. despite him making all that money and him being one of the higher prioritized guys on the market this year.
Doing what he did in the playoffs 2 years ago.
He did what Joe did 6 years ago, or 7 years ago now. Those two performances over the course of the playoffs are maybe two of the three best ever.
Yep.
Okay. So you like our guy week four. Week five. And again, we're trying to find out when and where the Broncos have an advantage at quarterback going through the schedule right now. Week five, at the Chargers.
I'm going to go, Phillip Rivers. I don't think a lot needs to be discussed there. Phillip Rivers, he is an elite level quarterback.
Yep. He's a future Hall of Famer who's still in the prime.
A long, long time.
And it feels like he's, you know, they say like older the berry, the sweeter the juice. That's what it feels like we're going through with Phillip Rivers. He's like getting better. Week six. Against the Tennessee Titans. That's here at home.
Yeah, I'm taking Joe Flacco. I'm still not sold on Marcus Mariota. He does some good things with his feet. He has a hard time staying healthy. You make him throw the football, keep him in the pocket, take away their running game. I think he's a below-average quarterback.
You know what? I think that's a good point. If someone asked me, hey, who's going to be the quarterback in Tennessee 2 seasons from now, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Yeah. I feel like he's on his last leg there, unless he figures it out. All right, week seven against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's here at home.
Still Patrick, even I don't care where you play that game, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, fair enough. Week eight at the Indianapolis Colts.
That's Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
They're building something over there in Indy. That's going to be a tough one.
Man, they could. I would not be shocked. I wouldn't even bat an eye if the Colts are playing on championship weekend. In the AFC.
Yep.
Week nine against the Cleveland Browns. That game's here at home. This is an interesting one. You got Baker Mayfield on the other side.
I'm going to give the edge to Baker. He's got that something to him. They got weapons around him now. I think to make him even better. So I'm projecting week nine that the edge will be Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Even though they're playing the Denver Broncos here at Mile High, I give Baker Mayfield that edge. I don't know something about that guy.
I know. He's got it.
He does. Some things he does bother me a little bit, but, you know, he's a competitor. He's fiery. I mean, that's the type of guy, if he's your teammate, you love him. I mean, just you love him. So I think he goes out and has a really good year this year, and so – And like I said, they Odell Beckham Jr., they got a couple really nice running backs, Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And you got Jarvis Landry. So they got some weapons over there.
David Njoku as well.
Yep. I'm going
advantage Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I feel like, and I think you even asked me this question, or maybe I dreamt it up. If you said, hey, you can go to one home game this year for the Broncos, I think
you asked yourself that question.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. I may have. I think it may be the Browns.
Like, one home game. I like that question. Can we do it right now?
Yeah, let's do it right now. Like, who would have thought that the Browns would be the sexy team, like coming into town with the star power and the sizzle?
Well, it's definitely not Detroit. It's not Oakland. Bears, they're a good team. They got a lot of talent there.
Sure.
Jacksonville, that's another good one. I think for me, it comes down to two teams.
Can I guess them?
Yes.
Chiefs?
Yes.
And the Browns.
Yeah. Yep. And I think I would. Oh.
Which one are you going to?
I probably do Cleveland because you don't get to see them a lot.
Bingo.
Right? And so you probably do Cleveland.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. Okay. So we're going through where and when the Broncos have an advantage at quarterback week by week, Joe Flacco against the competition. Week 11 at the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm giving the edge to Kirk Cousins because we're playing on the road. Might be different if it was at home, but I give the edge to Cousins, year two Minnesota, over Joe Flacco on the road.
Now, I promise this will be the last time I say this before the football season starts.
Oh, really?
I feel like the Minnesota Vikings last year were taking a step back to take a big step forward this year. I think they're a 10-win team, and I think they're a playoff team. And people act like Kirk Cousins totally laid an egg this past year.
He did.
He threw for 4,300 yards, threw 30 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. 30 touchdowns to 10 picks. 3-1, threw for 4,300 yards, all while completing 70% of his passes. I know they won 8 games, but don't forget that tie, so technically they had a winning record. They say he's an 8-8 quarterback. No, he's an 8-7-1 quarterback.
Oh, 8-7-1 quarterback. That 30-10 interception, that's
impressive.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
If you go by the narrative, you think it was 1-1.
Right. Yeah, I think he had 16 touchdowns and, you know, 15 interceptions.
That's how it spun.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Week 12 at the Buffalo Bills. The kid wonder, the boy wonder. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen can throw the football 200 yards.
We were checking in with D-Mac from Laramie. He said, boys, I saw something today I've never seen before. I said, what we do, D-Mac? We land on the moon again?
No.
Saw Josh Allen air it out. He is an intriguing young talent.
He is. He can run.
And he like jumps over. Not that you want your quarterback doing that, but
yeah.
who is that linebacker in the middle of the field? I think he played at UCLA.
Barr.
He jumped over his head.
Anthony Barr.
Jumped over Anthony Barr's head. Like,
yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. He's an athlete. It's going to be, you know, all those quarterbacks from last year that got drafted, you know, top 15, 20. It's going to be fun to see their development in a year or two. Sam Darnold, Baker, Josh Allen. I don't know if it's going to be Josh Rosen or not in Miami, but it's going to be fun to kind of watch them in year two and see if they can take a big step forward.
Especially, let me just jump in, especially the two quarterbacks that the Broncos could have picked.
Yes.
Or three, rather. Three. You know, with Lamar Jackson included. I know you probably wouldn't take him at five, but he still was a first-round quarterback.
Then you could have tried to move back up and get him.
Could have.
So,
but three of the Hall of Fame five we'll be tracking.
Yes. Yeah, certainly. I give the edge to Flacco here. He's a veteran quarterback. I know a little bit more what I'm going to get from him than I do with Josh Allen.
But like
we said earlier, I mean, this thing is obviously, I mean, that's week 12. We might get to week 8 and say, this kid is unbelievable. You see what he's doing in Buffalo? So right now I'm going with the known rather than the young guy that I don't know.
And let me just put you on the spot here. How many yards do you think Josh Allen ran for last year?
How many yards did he run for? Yeah. I mean, how many games did he start? Can you tell me that?
12.
Started 12 games.
Mm-hmm. Which makes this even...
575.
631 yards with 8 touchdowns.
I mean, he was unbelievable. Moly. He was. He's a big kid, too.
He is.
Oh, he's like, you know, feels like he's almost like Cam Newton size.
He's 6'5", 240.
It feels like he's almost Cam Newton size.
That's Noah Fant's dimensions.
6'5", 250.
Okay.
250.
So a 10 played off.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a big, big kid.
And you know what he is that I didn't think he was? Tough.
Yeah.
He's a tough kid.
He is.
Okay, week 13 against the Chargers. We're trying to find out where the Broncos have an advantage at quarterback. Flacco head-to-head versus the opposition. Week 13 against the Chargers here at home.
Philip. Still taking Philip, even though it's at home.
Okay.
Still going. With Philip Rivers.
What about week 14 at Houston, Deshaun Watson?
I'm going to Deshaun Watson, Houston. I mean, he's a pretty dynamic young quarterback. It's going to be, you know, he was hurt 2 years ago, came back last year. I think he stayed healthy for pretty much the whole season. And so now he's in year three of his development. What will he look like?
That's a good point. He played all 16 last year, threw for over 4,100 yards, and threw for 26 touchdowns to 9 picks. Wow. I didn't realize the numbers were that good.
Yeah, so I go Deshaun Watson.
At Kansas City, week 15, you got Patty.
Patty.
Week 16, you got the Detroit Lions here at home.
At home. Finish up with two home games there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Joe Flacco over Matt Stafford. I don't. It never seems like there's a lot of substance to Matthew Stafford.
Popcorn stats.
Yeah. It just, he's had some really nice years, but I don't know. At home here, I'm going Joe Flacco.
And then finally, week 17, at home against the Raiders.
Yeah, and I go Joe Flacco again. At home, Derek Carr, I gave him the edge in the first game. That's kind of odd. First game and last game of the year. Bookend the football season with division games against the Raiders.
It wasn't the same, but it was similar last year. Raiders week 2, Raiders
That's
week
right.
16.
That's right.
And I remember when the schedule came out last year, I said, Stoke, look at those last three games. Two of the three are at home against Cleveland and the Chargers, and we were trying to figure out, like, is it going to be relevant?
Right.
You know, and I said, hey, I like the 2-3 at home, you know, finish it if you have, if you're there in the mix to be able to close it out at home. Similar situation
but
here.
You're exactly right. You got to be relevant. You got to make them worth something. You got to make them a meaningful football game. And if you do, you can take advantage of them, being at home. But certainly you need them to be, you got to do some other work earlier in the season so those games will be valuable games and mean something.
I just went and listened to you go through the whole schedule, and we're trying to find out where and when the Broncos have an advantage at quarterback. Flacco against the opposing quarterback head-to-head. And I really cannot disagree with not one selection. If we were to do this blind and I was in another room, I think we would come up with the same exact result, maybe outside of one. Maybe outside of one, some would call me crazy, but week 9 against Cleveland here at home, knowing who the mastermind is defensively, being able to watch Baker Mayfield and maybe some of his warts begin to show a little bit.
Okay.
But really, even from where I stand right now, I can't really do that. But I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic that I
You like Flacco versus Derek Carr? I mean, you like Derek Carr over Flacco first week of the season? Who do you like in that matchup in Oakland?
Who
would you give the edge to?
I mean, for me to give you real pushback and flip the answer, Derek Carr, again, a lot like Kirk Cousins, there is a swelling narrative around him that doesn't exactly match who he is. Now, I'm not telling you he was, you know, some sort of Pro Bowl quarterback last year, but if I said to you, what type of year Derek Carr had, would you say he had a career high with completion percentage?
No.
Would you say he had a 2-1 interception and throw for over 4,000 yards?
No.
You know, probably not, right? So,
and I would say that he had a bad year, and then you look at it, you take a step back, and do you have those stats?
Sure.
You want to give them to me?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was waiting for.
He completed 69% of his passes. He threw for 4,049 yards. He threw for 19 touchdowns to 10 interceptions.
Okay. And he had nothing.
He had nothing.
And yes, some, you know, we always talk about, look, stats can be misleading. Certainly. You look at some quarterbacks, well, he threw for 4,400 yards, like, but it was meaningless stats.
Case Keenum.
Didn't matter. You were down. You were losing in those football games. But Derek Carr didn't have anybody to work with. And now you look at the weapons that they put around him. They try to revamp that offensive line. They drafted Josh Jacobs, Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some other moves that they made. So certainly offensively, now he's got some firepower around him to help him out. And last year was the first year with John Gruden. They were cleaning house. They were turning that thing over. He's learning a new system. They've been in it, so they should be better. And I think first game of the season, you'll see the edge go to Oakland and Derek Carr because – they've been together for a while now, where Rich Gangarello and this offense and Joe Flacco, it's the first time.
And by the way, despite not really having a receiver, Jared Cook was their leading receiver, the tight end. I couldn't even tell you their receivers, to be totally honest.
Johnny Holton.
Oh, good old Johnny.
Was that 2 years ago?
No, that was two years ago.
Like 10 years ago.
We'll
never forget Johnny.
We're like, who the hell is Johnny Holton? Talking about Derek Carr real quick, the completion, this is with nothing around him and a total rebuild. Completion percentage was a career high. The yards were a career high. The average yards per pass was a career high. And the interception was near a career low. Lower total picks than 3 of his 5 years as a pro. The only year lower was when he was an MVP candidate and threw 6. So, I'm not... You know, if Derek Carr was a stock, I'm not selling every piece of it. I'm going to hang on to some of it. And I know I'm probably getting hate on the RamosLaw.com text line. Carr also had the highest rated eyeliner. And yeah, I got it. Yep, he did. It's a thick coat under there.
That's a good game to start off with. First game of the season in Oakland. It's going to be... fun to watch the Raiders and what they look like this year and the Broncos, but obviously that's a rivalry that's still a rivalry, and it will always will be. So we'll see. We'll see what Derek Carr looks like this year, certainly.
But let me just say this. So you just went through the whole schedule. Can't really give you a pushback on any of them. you have the Broncos having a quarterback advantage over the course of 16 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Six, I think. 1, 2, 3. I had 4 on the first page, 2 on the last page.
The Bears, the Jags, Titans, the Brown. Oh, no, you gave it to Baker.
Yeah.
My bad. So 6. So 6 of the 16.
Yes.
So 6 of the 16. Not the worst case scenario.
No.
If your team's built the right way.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's the way they're trying to build this football team. We're not saying, Joe Flacco, go win us this game. We need you to throw for 350 and 3 touchdowns. That's not what we're asking him to do. We're manage a game. Don't make foolish mistakes. Let's run the football. Make a few plays when we need you in the fourth quarter. And let's play great defense. That's how the Broncos are going to win games this year.
You make an intelligent observation.
Oh, thanks, Coach.
We are counting down the days until
right, I did.
Broncos training camp. Just 3 days left. And our next question on the countdown gets tackled next.